back with you now on The Takeaway. I'm Arun Venugopal, and today for Tanzina Vega. Until relatively recently, when Hollywood included South Asian characters on screen, more often than not, it meant exaggerated foreign accents and comedic relief. In movies like Short Circuit from 1986, white actors wore brown face to play ridiculous Indian characters. But this summer marks what feels like a new chapter when it comes to South Asian actors getting cast in a range of lead roles. From Yesterday, starring Himesh Patel.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me.
To Late Night, a movie written by and starring Mindy Kaling.
If you have a problem, ask a chemist. She'll always have the solution.
To this month's Blinded by the Light, headlined by Vivek Kalra.
Is a dream a lie if it don't come true? Or is it something worse?
So while Hollywood still has a ways to go when it comes to increasing the number of South Asian people working in front of and behind the camera, it seems like, at least on some level, things are starting to change. I have two people with me now to discuss this recent spate of movies. Shilpa Dave is an assistant professor of media studies at the University of Virginia and the author of Indian Accents, Brown Voice and Racial Performance in American Television and Film. Thanks for being here, Shilpa.
Thanks, Arun, for inviting me.
Also with us is Aseem Chhabra, an entertainment writer and the festival director for the New York Indian Film Festival. Hey, Aseem.
Hi, Arun.
All right, Aseem, when we look at this recent spate of movies, including Stuber, starring Kumail Nanjiani, to what extent is this a new trend?
Well, so it's hard to say if it's really a trend, because two of the films that played this summer actually are British films. Yesterday was a British film, Danny Boyle's, as well as Blinded by the Light, made by a British Indian filmmaker, Gurinder Chadha. And the Brits have usually been more in the forefront of kind of, you know, giving more of a chance and opportunity to brown Asian actors, characters. Hollywood has been a lot slower in that regard, but there are people, obviously, they're breaking the glass ceiling. Mindy Kaling, as you mentioned, besides having her own show, she started off as a writer on Office and, you know, then acted in it, and then she had her own show. And this summer, she wrote and acted, played the lead role in the film Late Night with Emma Thompson. And also, Mindy hired an Indian-American filmmaker, director, Nisha Ganatra. She could have easily hired a white Caucasian director for the film, but she wanted sort of a South Asian-Indian perspective to the character.
Shilpa, what about you? Does this feel momentous in any sense to you?
Well, I think I agree with Aseem that we're seeing, you know, British films really doing something interesting. And I wonder if that's a reaction to Brexit, too, as well, and the idea that you're having Britain seen as the cosmopolitan place where you can talk about sort of racial difference and depict racial difference, but also have it in relationship to music, too. So the groups, especially in Blinded by the Light and in Yesterday, that they were singing, were it was the Beatles, which was, you know, going back to the 60s. And then you had Bruce Springsteen, which was the 80s. And that was set in Thatcher 80s, which was, you know, a much more conservative period. I found it interesting that in Blinded by the Light, the main character goes to New Jersey, to Bruce Springsteen's hometown, but at New Jersey at that same time where in Edison you were getting the Dopbusters. So I find that the sort of sense of nostalgia with these films is a little bit interesting in this moment, because it's like, how do we see South Asians in a racial and class context? And yes, I like the fact that, you know, with both of these films, they were doing that. Late Night is a little bit different, because I think what Mindy Kaling is doing, and with Nisha Ganatra, who, you know, has directed independent films going back into the 90s.
Chutney Popcorn, she's really, yeah,
Chutney Popcorn was a great film, actually. And I think that what we want to see is, what is the American experience? And it's counter to the way that we think about, you know, Hollywood and even the American experience of South Asians in the U.S. is different from British. So she's trying to do something different. And she also is now the executive producer of Four Weddings and a Funeral,
Mindy
set
is
in London.
Yeah.
And which she has one of the main characters of that ensemble piece also being an Indian, a British Pakistani character.
You know, there's a part of me that feels like, even with all these Desi films coming out, and of course all the TV stars that have kind of blossomed in the last few years, you'll never see the sort of hype and even like euphoria that we associate with the release of, say, Crazy Rich Asians last year. Is it just a matter of time, Shilpa, or do you think the issue of representation for East Asians is fundamentally different than it is for South Asians?
I think in South Asians, and I go back to my own experience, is that I always had Bollywood. And so to me, Crazy Rich Asians was actually reference to Bollywood, especially in some of those elaborate sequences that they did. I feel like it was really drawing from that particular moment. So we already sort of have that, I think. And, and you know, when Pride and Prejudice came out, that was a big moment. But I think in terms of the worldwide phenomenon, what is it about that film? It was just, it was beautiful. And it also showed something different, which was an Asian American woman being our point of reference and taking us into an Asian cultures. And that was the real interesting point. If we had something like when Cal Penn was going into The Namesake, you know, that was another way in which Mira Nair took an Indian American character and took that character into India. And that was a pretty big hit, too, as well. So I think you want to think about perspective and also how we look at what is American as opposed to just an NRI non-resident Indian.
Asim, you split your time between New Delhi and New York. To what extent do you think Hollywood and Western films in general are catering not just to the diasporic audience, Indians or South Asians in America, but to the global Indian audience, including, of course, all the people in India?
So there are a couple of cases in recent times when they rebooted Baywatch from the television show to the film. They cast Priyanka Chopra as the villain. You know, that show was very, very popular in India. Baywatch, when it was, you know, cable television just starting in India at that point, and everyone was watching the show. The film didn't do well. It didn't do well here. It didn't do well in India also. Also, one of the last triple X's, the Bollywood actress Deepika Padukone was cast in it. Many of these franchises, as we know, don't do that well in the US, but the studios are still pushing them because China is a very, very big market. India can be a very big market. Unfortunately, it did not work very well. But next year, Kumail Nanjiani is coming as one of the superheroes in The Eternals, which is a Marvel.
That's huge.
That is huge. The only other similar story is of another Pakistani British actor, Riz Ahmed, who was in one of the last Star Wars, really.
That's right.
So that is huge. When you start to act in a film, you know, and you cast a brown South Asian actor in a Star Wars kind of or a Marvel Comics film. We're talking about times are changing, definitely.
Shilpa, I'm curious. I mean, you've been studying representation of brown people on screen for a while now. When we talk about, say, East Asian films, there are long-running concerns and frustrations with how, say, Asian American men have been portrayed, a certain emasculation that they're still in some ways trying to overcome. What do you think South Asian actors and actresses are trying to overcome in terms of representation?
Well, it's about, and especially in an American context, it's about giving an alternative to a black-white racial binary. And so how does the idea of brown fit into this racial landscape? And I think in the, sort of 21st century, we can see how there is still this immigration story. But, you know, Indians have been here for over 100 years. I mean, the Punjabi Sikhs came in the 19-teens. And so there is a long history. But with the different kinds of laws that were preventing people from Asia coming to the United States, it's this post-1965 that you start to see larger and larger populations. And we see it in the political sphere. So we have, you know, people like Kamala Harris and Nikki Haley, who are, you know, strong women. But yet we don't see that necessarily reflected in film. So a lot of the films that we see really feature Asian men, but where are the women? So when we talk about masculinity, I think with South Asian men, it's still this pursuit of an interracial relationship, and it's usually heteronormative. With South Asian women, you're starting to see something that's a little bit different, but that's what people talk about is how does, in our everyday life, how do we depict what our cultural background is, but also show that our cultural context is American? What does someone who is South Asian and American look like? And we keep on seeing the child of immigrant story, which I think is really important. but what other kinds of stories can we tell?
Real quick, Asim, any films that you're excited about coming up or even TV shows?
Well, I mentioned I'm going to Toronto next week, and I'm really very, very keen to see how Dev Patel plays David Copperfield. Mm-hmm. You have a brown Gujarati British actor who's going to play the ultimate classic white character.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Dickens. Shilpa Dave is an assistant professor of media studies at the University of Virginia. And Asim Chhabra is an entertainment writer and the festival director for the New York Indian Film Festival. Thank you both for speaking with me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Arun.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.